I have a question for you. Do you like adventure? I suppose it depends on how you define the word adventure, doesn't it? Because there are two primary definitions of the word adventure. The first definition is an undertaking usually involving danger and unknown risks. I'm not that person. I don't like that kind of definition. It sounds very negative to me. Do you like that? No? Some people do. Lois Calzone's grandson, Joey, loves that kind of thing. Lois is not here today. Today is Lois's 80th birthday, and her family is treating her to a special birthday time away, and she could not be with us. But her grandson, Joey, oh my goodness. Joey would rather be snowboarding in the Rockies, where he is an instructor, or surfing in Hawaii, where he is an instructor, or dirt biking more than he would like to eat. And I'm serious. And he says, I may die young, but I'll die happy. He loves that kind of adventure. Not me. The second definition of adventure is more my speed. Here it is. An exciting or remarkable experience. Bingo, there you go. I like that one. That sounds more inviting. Forget the danger stuff. Don't give me a thrill for the moment, but give me hope for the future. There you go. That's the kind of adventure I like. And I want to suggest something this morning. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, as you know, and I would like for you, each one of you, to look at this season as an adventure. You see what I did there? Wasn't that clever? An adventure, all right? I want you to have an exciting and a remarkable experience this Advent that changes your life for the better. And I think that's exactly what Advent's all about, after all. It's a remarkable, exciting event that changes our lives forever. Now, I believe you already know this, but I want to be sure we're all on the same page before I go on. Advent is an English word that is derived from a Latin word, and the Latin word is adventus, and the literal meaning of the word is coming. It's a period of 4 weeks that precede the coming of Jesus Christ to live among us. It's a month in which we prepare to celebrate Christmas, God with us. Advent is also a reminder that we are in a season of preparation all the time for the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's probably one of the greatest adventures. That is the greatest adventure that we're ever going to experience. And I can hardly wait, and I'm sure that many of you would agree with that. What a shame it is that so many Christians close down after this season of Advent and Christmas, not realizing that every day is Advent. Every week is Advent. Every moment is Advent as we prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, if you are going to make the most of this Advent season with me, you're going to need to be an adventurous person, one who's willing to make some choices and take some chances. And that may require some of you to move outside of your comfort zone. If you consider yourself to be non-adventurous and unwilling to move out of your comfort zone, then these next four sermons are going to be uncomfortable for you. You may not like them, because I am going to meddle in your life. Before I continue, let me continue setting this up a little bit. When Advent arrives, we almost always talk about John the Baptist. R.B. read about John. Matthew chapter 3 tells us about the remarkable ministry of this remarkable man, preaching in the desert near the where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea, proclaiming the coming of one who would be greater than he, the coming of the Messiah, calling for repentance and baptizing people in the Jordan River. And all of that, did you know all of that was foretold in the Bible about 700 years before it actually happened? And that prophecy is from Isaiah 40 that we've been dealing with already today. And Isaiah 40, that is the scripture that is going to be the framework of these four sermons. And I'm going to begin reading it in verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. By the way, did you know that scholars cannot agree on how that's supposed to be punctuated and how it's supposed to be read? The first possibility is a voice of one calling, quote, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, end quote. And the second one is a voice of one calling in the desert, quote, prepare the way of the Lord. Which is it? Nobody knows. Does it matter? Nope. Does it matter? Because either way, it's saying the same thing. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Now, that had literal meaning for the Jews. Let me explain. It was a thing. You see, whenever a king or a ruler of some type was going to make a trip through that barren country in that part of Israel, a team of workers would go out weeks, days and weeks before that trip, and they would prepare the way for him. They would actually build temporary roads, highways, in the wilderness so that it would be easier for the horses and the chariots to make their way through that terrain. But these words of Isaiah and these words of John the Baptist are not meant to be taken literally. They are spiritual words. And they were both saying the same thing. The King of Kings is coming. Prepare the road in your heart to receive him. Those are not just nice words. Those are a directive from God. Sit up, take notice, God is speaking, prepare. That's what he's saying. Then Isaiah continued, every valley shall be raised up. Can you see that in your mind's eye? Just every valley shall be raised up. And then he continued, every mountain shall be made low. And then he said, the rugged places shall be made a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Okay, this is where our adventure begins. Out of that, I have four questions for you. First question, what are the valleys in your life that need to be raised up? I'm beginning to meddle now. Second question, what are the mountains and hills in your life that need to be made low? Third question, is there any rough ground in your life today that you need to become level? And the fourth question, are there any rugged places in your life that you wish could become like a plain? Those four questions are going to be the focus of our four sermons during these four Sundays of Advent, and we're going to deal with the first one today, the valleys. But not yet. Let's grab this truth first. Advent is a season of promise. God is able to do far more in your life than you could possibly imagine. Promise. And in fact, God wants and desires to do more in your life than you can even imagine. Hope. The big question is, are you willing to allow him to do that? I started with the third verse of Isaiah chapter 40, but let's look at the context. This is verse 1. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. That, did you know, that is a huge turning point in the entire book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in Israel. And during that time, when the people heard that the prophet was coming to town, they wanted to hide because those Old Testament prophets came in preaching doom and gloom, and they didn't like that. Isaiah was absolutely no different. In fact, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah are speaking to the Jews who were being assaulted by the Assyrians, like the Ukrainians are today by Russia. They were suffering every day, and they were falling apart, and they were filled with doom and gloom. And Isaiah was talking about all of that, 39 chapters of that, with conflict and sin and destruction, gloom and doom. But now, chapter 40, he turns the corner with this remarkable, remarkable word of hope. Comfort. Comfort. It's like somebody opened the door and let the fresh air in. Comfort. And even that was not enough because he said it twice. Comfort. Comfort, my people. Now, I thought of something when I read that. I have no idea why this came to my mind, but it did. When you were in grade school, can you remember? When you were in grade school, did you ever pack your lunch? I did. I took a little brown bag and a thermos every day. I hated the food in the school cafeteria. And my mother made the best peanut butter sandwiches in the world. And I loved it. But the best part of opening my little brown bag was whenever she decided to put a note in that brown bag, such as, have a really nice day. I needed that encouragement. It comforted me. Or she might put the note and say, I love you. Yeah, I needed that. It was encouraging. Well, the Jews were exhausted by the Assyrians' constant attacks. And they were now facing exile into Babylon, and they needed encouragement, and they needed comfort. So Isaiah put an encouraging note in their little brown bag. Comfort. Comfort, my people. And you know what? God has put that same note into your little brown bag, too. Hallelujah. Just when you think things in your life could not get any worse, God can bring you comfort. Maybe he'll do it in unexpected ways that you never dreamed of, but he sees the whole picture. Just when you think the world is going to hell, God says, prepare the way because the King of Kings is coming. Hope. That is the message of Advent, and that is our adventure. By the way, if you are like me, you do not only just want comfort. You want comfort now. That's kind of the way our culture is today, you know. Sometimes it is difficult to wait. I don't want to wait for it. I need it now. I remember this past summer watching the TV news. I remember how frustrating it was to see all those people going to the airport with all those canceled flights and delayed flights, and they couldn't get on an airplane, and they were disgruntled. It's filling the airport, waiting. I think waiting at the airport is one of the worst kinds of waiting that there is, because you are surrounded by disgruntled people. Unless, of course, you are one of those people who has access to the airline's club lounge. And in there, they have better seating. And they have food, and they have drink, and they have entertainment. And the people sitting around in there are relaxed and comfortable. Well, like it or not, you and I have to wait for Jesus to come back, his second advent. And waiting can be hard sometimes. But we have something like a club lounge. It's called the church. And here we are, enjoying the comfort of one another and the peace of the Lord together. We're not alone. The church, of course, is the people sitting around you right now, waiting together. That's comforting. And that is God's message to Isaiah, a voice of one calling, "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up." Do you remember today's question? What are the valleys in your life that need to be raised up? I want you to go on an adventure with God and allow God to bring some new comfort into your life during this special season. And this is where I'm going to begin meddling, and I'm going to begin probing a little bit. Let's start here. Have you failed at something? I hope you're thinking. Have you failed at something? I mean, let's face it, none of us are perfect. All of us have failed at one time or another, or at least we feel like we have failed. Maybe you have an adult child who has turned their back on you and your values, turned their back on the God that you love, and you're asking yourself, did I fail them? Was it my fault? Did you actually fail them? Either way, it's a valley. Would you like to see that valley raised up? Would you like to see those relationships healed? That is the kind of adventure that God wants you to have. Well, maybe it's a different problem. Perhaps you have a family member or a loved one who just doesn't communicate with you anymore. It's like you don't count. Was it your fault? Was it their fault? Does it matter? God wants it mended. And you want to see that valley raised up too. I told you I was going to meddle a little bit. Here's another one. Maybe you're having financial problems. And maybe you're having the financial problems because you've been stupid. Have you ever been stupid with money? That can be a huge valley. It can color everything in life. It can be humiliating to have financial difficulty. Or this. You're getting older, you're more sedentary, and it's hard to get up out of that chair. And it's even harder to walk from here to there. I think I'm probably stepping on some toes now, including my own. That is a real valley for many of us. Old age. Or this. Do you struggle with pride? Has that ever made you be defensive with your spouse or with someone else and ruined a relationship? That is not only your valley, but that's also their valley. It works both ways. It needs help to be raised up. Are we having fun yet? Here's another one. Did you have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ in the past, but now you find yourself lukewarm? And you come here on Sundays, every Sunday that you possibly can, you come here, but you leave here feeling just as lukewarm as you did when you arrived. That is a spiritual valley, not a physical one, but a spiritual valley. Or maybe you have some habits. Maybe you have some habits that are running your life and you just can't get out of it. You just can't help yourself. And you wish that you could conquer them, but you just can't. Or maybe worse than habits, maybe you have an addiction. Do you have an addiction? It could be to a substance or it could be to an activity. Do you have an addiction that's controlling you and making you unhealthy, either mentally or spiritually or physically? Here's another one. Do you struggle with envy? Do you envy anyone? How does that manifest itself? Here's another one. Are you grumpy or are you happy? Do you get depressed? I could go on and on. And in fact, I identify with some of the things that I have just listed as examples of low points in my life, and low points in your life. They define me somehow, and maybe they define you somehow, as being a subnormal Christian. We may have been subnormal for so long that we don't know what true normalcy in Jesus Christ feels like. And even if we did feel that true normalcy in him, we might not even recognize it anymore. Did you follow that? Do you settle for your valleys in your life, brothers and sisters? Do you settle for them and just say, that's the way it is? Or do you accept my challenge today to go on to into an adventure with God to raise up those valleys? I'm also reading from Isaiah, but chapter 1, come now. This is God speaking. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be like wool, like snow. Forgiveness. Come now, let's reason. I am a forgiving God. You are at war. You are at war with yourself, and you are at war with the devil. And it's time for that warfare to end. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for your God. Listen to these wonderfully familiar promises of God, also from the book of Isaiah. These came in the doom and gloom chapters. This is chapter 35, beginning in verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be open. Then will the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then will the lame, anybody lame? Anybody struggling with being lame? Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shall shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Will you? Will you? I married my granddaughter this summer. Huge privilege. And during the Thanksgiving gathering this week, as 20 of us gathered in a circle and each person was naming something that they would be thankful for, I had a boatload. And one of them was to relive that moment of marrying Caitlin. But the way I described it was, and turning to my son David, who was sitting three people away from me, in the eye that day and saying, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" That was a real moment in my life. And another one was when I turned to Christian and Caitlin and I gave them their pledge, and I coached them in the rehearsal, and I said, once I finished reading this, will you do this and will you do that? Will you do this? I said, at the end of it, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, will you? And your answer, of course, is, I will. Will you walk with the Lord on an adventure during this Advent? You know you want to, but will you? Or will you leave here today thinking something like, oh, well, those were clever words. I like what he did there with the word Advent and adventure, but I've heard all that before. What's for lunch? You have a choice. You can be adventurous or you can be indifferent. Which is it? You can put on the same lovely clothes that you put on every Lord's Day to hide all your imperfections. And you can put on the same face that you do every Lord's Day to hide all the valleys that you are holding in your heart that God already knows about, that have gotten deeper and deeper into your life and is messing things up. You know what? You can put up a Christmas tree. Yes, you can. And the more lights, the better. And you can put up your trains, and you can put up your candles, and you can put up a special tablecloths all over the place. And don't forget the poinsettias. They're just, you know, you need those. And all of the other things that divert your attention and make you feel better, all the while suppressing the valleys that are in your life that God would love to fill up and to raise up if only you would let him. I don't think God wants you not to put up those decorations. I think he wants you to. I think he wants you to. If it blesses you, then do it. But you know what? He wants you to be blessed deeply in a life-changing way, not a feel-good time for 4 weeks. He doesn't want you to cover it up with glitter. He wants you to be real. He wants to make an ongoing difference in your life. So what should you do? What can you do? If there is a valley in your life, if there is anything in your life that you would like to have raised up, then I suggest you take these steps. First of all, identify it. Name it. You know, when you name something, you're taking authority over it. Name it. I was thinking about one of my habits. I hate to admit this, but most of you know it anyway, is I like to overeat. I like food. And so I might name it something like bloat. Here's a better word. Bloaty. And then I speak to it. Hey, Blody, you're not going to control me anymore. You have a valley? Identify it. Give it a name. And then do what John the Baptist said to do. Repent! Harry, go back and listen to this sermon. Repent. And then have an honest prayer time with God. An honest conversation with God. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to intervene. Ask for His healing in your life. Ask for His blessings. He will love it when you do that, because He wants to do that. And then, you know, really turn it over to God. You remember a long time ago, I preached on cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and I gave you an illustration. I said, you know, I think I used a hymnal. I don't remember, but I held it up. Don't just give your blessings to the Lord, but give it to Him hands down. Boom. Let go of it and give it to Him. His invitation is there for you. What will you do with it? What you do with it depends on whether or not you are willing to join with Him in your personal adventure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You already know the deepest secrets of our hearts. And we do not like to pull back the curtain and lay bare the valleys of our lives. It's uncomfortable. It's revealing. But Lord, I pray by Your grace that You will help us to do just that. And help us to deal with those valleys and allow You to deal with those valleys in our lives, that we may be changed, not hidden with glitter, but truly changed to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.